Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm delighted to welcome a very, very successful coach, and we'll talk about the kind of coaching she does, Yukti Kapoor Mendiratha, to our show. Yukti, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Yukti is the founder and CEO of Silhouette by Yukti, which is SBY. She's a certified leadership and etiquette coach. She's the former GladRags Mrs. India runner-up. She's the former banker. And in 2020, she was amongst the top 10 women for startups. So Yukti, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
Well, that's an interesting question to start with. So I think each and every milestone that I can think of right now has pretty much been a turning point as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that turning point as a U-turn, like how we usually imagine it to be. It was definitely a milestone because each one of those turning points took me ahead in life. So the first one was when I signed up to be a banker after MBA. You know, that's the best thing that can happen to you. And Thankfully, it happened to me too. Okay. And I quite enjoyed my career with the bank. And I think having a good start of the career in itself promises a good future ahead. Mm-hmm. So a lot of learnings in my career as a banker. The second milestone was far more challenging, which is when I took the plunge to become an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And being the first generation entrepreneur, you have your own doubts and anxiety about making your thoughts into converting them into, you know, real business. Sure. So that I consider as another huge milestone, which, you know, really helped me understand and discover my own self. Mm-hmm. And the third and the most interesting one closest to my heart is motherhood, because I think being a mother has helped me to be a better entrepreneur. The kind of qualities I've discovered in myself and probably even built as a mother, I think I didn't even possess earlier, such as, you know, patience and grit and doing everything with a smile and looking at one day at a time were not the qualities I could take pride in before being blessed with my twins.
Okay.
So that's been like the most memorable, like, you know, push forward in life in every which way that you may say.
I can imagine. Let's talk about SBY Academy. Tell me about this venture.
So SBY Academy is a passionately driven platform that I created with a clear understanding of the fact that even in my own corporate career, I have seen, you know, this huge gap between people's presentability and abilities, mm-hmm. right? So their capabilities and their presentability don't go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So interestingly, Ashutosh, I have like a taste of both the worlds, the glamour world, courtesy GladRags, Mrs. India, and of course the corporate world, being an ex-banker. And I think presentability is not a good to have anymore. It is a must to have because you need to find a way to stand out, which does not mean being stylish or creating a wannabe persona about yourself, but really having that element of self-respect, which makes you, you know, feel like waking up every morning to the best version of who you are in terms of your appearance, behavior, communication in every aspect. So I think SBY Academy is totally dedicated towards helping people discover their potential and their ability to show themselves out to the world. So that is one reason why we put this platform together. So we have leadership training and coaching interventions that we offer to corporates and business owners. And I also strongly feel that leadership is a skill that needs to be learned. And while we might agree, we don't give ourselves a chance to learn it in a structured way. We pretty much expect to have all the qualities which are required for you to be a leader because you've been able to promote, you know, get promoted and move on to that level in life where you're now responsible for other people. So I don't know many people around who've really learned leadership as a skill before they could put their hand up to say, I'm ready to now lead people. So I think what that does to us, Ashutosh, has such irreversible damages sometimes in not just our career, but in people's career as well, who we try and lead, but do so half-heartedly and with a half-baked effort because we are half-prepared. So I think that building in and seeding in that conscious understanding of going back to the drawing board and really sitting in that classroom environment with a notebook and a pen is, you know, will be like, you know, my mission for the rest of my life from here on.
That's good. So what you're really telling me is that you believe that leaders are made and trained rather than being born.
Yes. While a few might agree to disagree, but I strongly feel that I don't think leaders are born. Leaders can be created. It comes with the willingness to add value. That probably has to come from within. Rest, everything can be learned and mastered.
Okay. And before I ask you some more questions on coaching, what is an etiquette coach? You know, help me understand with maybe one or two examples.
So let me start by saying that etiquette is not the same as style. Mm-hmm. For me, etiquette is respect. Mm-hmm. And respect is a very important quality for a leader. So when we talk about etiquette, what are we talking about? We're talking about being careful about your mannerism, the way you conduct yourself. Now, whether it is in a business environment, which we call as business etiquette, or in a social environment, which is social etiquette, or a dining etiquette. So how are you conducting yourself? Which means, are you able to sense your own space and respect other people's space? Are you able to adapt to their culture? Are you able to understand and respect their boundaries? So as much as I might be a fork and knife person, if I am in Rajasthan and enjoying a good meal in Chowkidhani, I want to sit down with the rest of them and use my hands to enjoy a gourmet, because that for me will show respect to their culture. So etiquette is not just fork and knife. It's about respecting people for who they are.
And in the environment you are in at that point, right?
Yes.
Okay, well said. So let's, you talk about coaching. You know, you are a certified coach. Tell me, what is coaching and why has it become so important in the world today? I mean, when I was growing up, and I'm much older, coaching and mentoring was done either by an elder in the family or a senior colleague who just took a liking for you. Right. Now people get paid for it.
Right. So I'm glad that you think that it's picking up worldwide, because I think it should and it must, because there is a lot of innate power in coaching. But before I get further into this, let us create one clarification here, and thank you for extending that opportunity to me, because we often misunderstand coaching to be mentoring.
Correct.
So when you say an elderly has coached me, or we look forward to, or we looked up to one such person, it is about someone who can tell us how things are done, because they have been there, done that. But then that is a mentor, not a coach. So coach is not limited to her age or even her experience in the domain that you hold expertise in. However, the expertise that a coach must hold is their ability to ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. So coaching is a technique which is used for enabling people to move forward in their life by discovering the answers they've always possessed within them, but they were seeking outside for someone to come and tell them what is the right thing to do. But then what is universal right? Your right is yours. Mm-hmm. But the problem is with all of us and across the world that we are far more comfortable seeking for our answers outside of us than going deeper within, because it's scary and it's dark and it's unknown. And that's when a coach comes, as that light, or if I may say diya, and that's how I imagine coaching to be. And with that light, the coach holds your hand and takes you deeper within you. Mm-hmm. So coach is not sitting with any answers, by the way. And in my experience, Ashutosh, I had to let go of some business because people expected me to answer their questions. Mm-hmm. And as much as I would be tempted to do so, it is against the coaching principle. It is against the ethics of being a coach to give your right to someone's question. The intent is to help them find their right.
Okay. And therefore, a follow-up question to you is that who should look for a coach?
Coaching is not for everyone. It is really only for those who want to grow and progress in life.
And not for who doesn't want to grow in life.
Which is to say, it is really for everyone.
Well said,
but I believe, and this might be against a good business sense, if you may want to look at it that way, but I believe you can't sell coaching. You can only invite a coach in your life when you are prepared. And because that willingness will help the coach to do what a coach needs to do for you. So it is not something that I can sell across the table and say, I will do this for you and I will do that for you and this is what coaching will do for you. You need to open up and say, you know what? I think I know where I'm going, but I'm losing the patience to get there. Can you help me do that?
Right.
That's when a coach enters your life.
Right. And how does a coach benefit? me as an entrepreneur or me as a professional?
So what a coach does for you to start with is bring in clarity of thought. And I think clarity is the key. Sometimes that clarity is to realize that you're headed in the wrong direction, and maybe that's the clarity needed. And guess what? You've saved so much time in your life to really swap onto something else that you may want to do. Right. Or that clarity could be to seek more help than what you think you're capable of doing, because all of us hesitate in doing so. What makes it much easier for us is to bring in that humility to put our hand up and say, I need help. So if you have a coach in your life already, you've already done that. Okay, and kudos to you. But if you're still figuring out life by yourself, thinking I'm going to crack this pot on my own, then you might just be spending a lot more time than you need to. So the choice is yours. But a coach is a sounding board for you. A coach brings in clarity. A coach brings in the confidence within you to know that there is nothing that you cannot solve, and there is nothing that you can't go beyond. Because the coach will ensure that you do that for yourself, and you will see yourself doing that. So in my own career, I've seen people absolutely amazed with their ability to go through things they thought they can never overcome. And they thought someone will come and tell me how to do it. And each time as a coach, I kept reminding them that it's not me. I'm just sitting next to you. So I'm not ahead of you, pulling you ahead. I'm not behind you, pushing you forward. I am next to you. And that's what a coach does for you.
And now from the perspective of the coachee, how do they determine whether I have the right coach?
Okay, so you know, this question is becoming very, very important to address, because unfortunately, like any other space, I don't think coaching is an exception here. There are many budding, aspiring coaches who put the word in front of their name before they pick up the wherewithal, and it does require some bit of training and learning. So I, for one, am not such a fan of certificates, let me confess. I think the need and the hunger to learn should come from within, and is not limited to gathering X number of credentials. It is an ongoing journey, and you've got to stay on that learning path forever. So for example, I mean, even now, and I won't say I've been there for too long, but I ensure that I will continue spending that 1 hour of conscious study that I do every single day for years now. And that must go on. And that is what helps a coach to be a better coach. So if you're looking for one, I think it is important to see some bit of their credentials, just to see how serious they are about this as a profession. So don't go with age as a criteria. Don't look for gray hair necessarily, because that's a mentor you're looking for, and not necessarily a coach, but definitely a little sneak peek into what have they learned and where from where have they learned. ICF being one of the most reputed organizations in this space, I think some association with ICF should be an important prerequisite. And of course, some body of work helps, because that also helps you to see what to expect from that coach.
And one more question. How long should the relationship
be? Yes. I mean, am I saying this too often, that this is yet another good question? Because it is one of the things that we totally miss out on. And that's because, we believe that everything should be a shortcut, like a crash course. Like if I do MBA in 2 years, I'm an MBA graduate, right? And I think now that's sorted. But we all know that only after 2 years do we realize that we have just about scratched the surface. Even if it's a course such as MBA, or you pick any, even if you're an engineer, say by qualification, your practice of engineering tells you what engineering is all about. So as much as we are all within the practice of life and trying to understand and experience it in a better way, don't invite a coach as a crash course. Don't invite a coach to address one problem. And don't hesitate in inviting a coach if you don't have a problem. Because it's only when you don't have a problem that it's the best time to have a coach in your life. It requires a lot of emotional strength and mental stability to be coached. So everyone might not be as prepared for coaching as you might imagine, because your coach is not a counselor who will help you through a bad marriage. But your coach is a sounding board who will make you realize whether it is as bad or not. So you need to have that emotional strength to deal with what will come your way and might not necessarily be music to your ears.
Okay. So that means the person who wants, looking for a coach must be prepared to hear some hard realities.
Yes. I mean, it is some tough love coming your way. But it is love. It could be tough love. Yeah. And look at that engagement for at least a year or two. Mm. And once you go as far as that, you will realize that it's a lifetime relationship.
Well said. So, you know, when you look at your own self and the organization that you're building, what are some of the core values you believe in?
Well, I think there is only one, and that is not just the core value of my organization, but also of me as an individual. And that's what helps me to stay more connected. And if I may say, feel good about who I am. And that is the ability to very genuinely respect everything and everyone around. And I consciously say everything and everyone, because it is not limited to just humans, but just everything that you use. And with that sense of gratitude, if you embrace what you're blessed with, it just brings in the humility required for you to keep growing. And that's the foundation of SBY Academy as well.
And, you know, you must be working with lots of individuals. You coach them. There must be lots of people who are heading businesses, etc. As you look at them from the perspective of a coach, what are some of the key qualities you think a CEO should possess?
So I think as a CEO, we are very clear about one fact, mm-hmm. that you're not executing things anymore. Mm-hmm. We're way beyond that, right? We've kind of gone, years have passed by that you are getting work done from people and you don't quite do stuff yourself, which makes it even more important for us to learn how to be accountable for our own actions. Mm-hmm. It is still heartbreaking to see a lot of people sitting at the right place doing a few wrong things, mm-hmm. such as passing the buck, not being able to be that sponge which is supposed to absorb a few things that the team doesn't have to be exposed to necessarily. And that ability to hold that, because that's where we look up to you, right? So you don't have to be a godfather, but you need to be that sponge that holds the mark before all of it trickles down. Or in fact, you know, more often than not, I see them adding more to it than to just holding some back from the team. So at the same time, let's not be overprotective and be a parent to a team. I think it's a very beautiful, delicate relationship that we have with our teams as a CEO, as a leader, where there has to be a fine balance between, you know, relationships and results, right? And that balance is the key to not just your success, but your team's success. Okay. So that happens when you are consciously working on yourself. And you're not looking at the team who probably have half the experience that you do when you think you're now comfortable to sit back. Because only when you are a leader do you know that conscious learning will be work in progress forever. But it doesn't end there. What is important is for you to know, what are you learning consciously? And what is it that you lack? Because we all do. And there's a long list of things that I can share that I need to work upon personally. And it is true for everyone. In fact, Theodore Roosevelt, when died, had a book under his pillow. At least an hour or so before, I'm not close to that and haven't had such an experience, but I imagine you would know that there's, you know, you're heading towards darkness and yet you're seeking light of knowledge. Mm. And if I may share, this is exactly how I want to leave this world, you know, trying to learn something new with my last breath. Mm. And that's a very important quality for a CEO.
Is it? Well said. So I think, you know, you still have to wait for many, many years before you start thinking of darkness. But okay. So Yukti, let's talk now, you know, move to the next segment of our conversation, which are some questions for you personally.
Sure.
As you look back at life and as you look ahead, for someone who's been a successful banker, who's made it big in the world of fashion, who's a certified coach, at this stage of life, what does success mean to you?
I'm glad that we're bringing in this stage and the phase of life, because if I were to answer this a few years back, I probably would have listed some award somewhere or maybe a figure in my bank that will indicate success. Yeah. But having experienced quite a variety of flavors in life already thus far, I have come to believe that for me, genuinely, success is progress. Mm-hmm. Every single day, taking that baby step towards a desired direction, mm-hmm. is success for me.
Okay. And a follow-up question from that is that who or what inspires you?
So, you know, what inspires me is my own clients and their stories of how they are experiencing transformation, how they are able to feel ease and simplicity in a life that looked rather complicated a while back. Mm-hmm. And each time I have such a story unfolding in front of me, it just keeps me going. Okay. And that tells me that you can't get tired. There is so much more to do. Mm-hmm. And that also tells me that you can't do it all. And hence, anytime I see a budding coach, I feel compelled to take some time out and do whatever little mentoring or handholding I can, because I think there are far less coaches and far more people to be coached.
Correct. Correct. Well said. My next question to you is that if you, Yukti, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would think of changing in yourself?
Wow, that's like sitting on a hot chair in real sense, because children don't take you for your word. They will believe what you do and not what you say, which means that you've got to practice every bit of what you preach. Okay. And I think that will really help me to be a better person, mm-hmm. Knowing that you're in that spotlight and you are totally responsible for every action you take or sometimes don't. So tough spot to be in. But yes, if I'm in that spot, which happens even if you have your own kids in the house, mm-hmm. It just keeps you aware and grounded. And you know that you've really got to live up to every word that you preach and you claim to understand.
Well said. So I have time for two more questions for you.
Sure.
My next question is on failure. You know, and I've often said this, and I've got a new book coming out in 2 weeks on failure.
Wow.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents always told me that you got to be first in class, you got to be at the head of the line. I told my children the same thing, maybe lesser. And Indians generally don't find it easy to tell people it's okay to fail. Yet we keep failing all the time. Absolutely. My question to you, Yukti, is what has been some of your biggest learnings from some of your biggest mistakes?
Wow, so that's a long list of
we all have that.
You know, big and small, and every small failure that you consider as small looked really big when you were, like, you know, facing it in the eye. So I remember not clearing any engineering exam at that time looked like, oh my God, like that I have no future in front of me, because whatever little that my parents knew at that time about career, it had to do with either medicine or engineering. And I speak for a lot of people who come from that era. Yeah, so, you know, when medicine wasn't quite it and engineering didn't quite happen, I was wondering if I will make much of my life. And that looked like a failure I couldn't deal with for a long, long time. And now when I look back, I thank God for not pushing me in that direction, because I would have probably been a terrible engineer. Mm. And most importantly, would have probably not enjoyed life as much as I have. But if there is one huge learning that I've been able to draw from all these big and small failures, is that no matter how scattered the dots look, they eventually all connect. Mm. And I think that's true for all of us. Mm. We might think that, you know, what is science in school to do with math graduation, mm-hmm. and then MBA in marketing with the bank, and then Gladrax Mrs. India, and now a coach. I mean, nothing is talking to anything. And yet I feel that putting a business together into the space of coaching and, you know, leadership would not have been possible had I not done any of those things that I have done in the past. Because each one of those experiences has helped me to do better in what I do today. So at this point in life, I'm able to connect those dots. But doesn't necessarily mean that while I was moving from one dot to the other, it felt or looked as connected. So that's a huge, huge learning.
That's very, very well said. And my last question to you, and I know you've already given me some responses. What would your advice be to a young coach? When I say young, not in terms of chronological age, but someone who's just starting off on their journey as a coach, what would your advice be to them?
So I would humbly request you to study coaching as a technique. It is nothing less than engineering, medicine, MBA, or anything that you think you need to be qualified for before you put your hand up and claim to take that responsibility, because coaching is a huge responsibility. Okay. Where someone trusts you with their life and they look up to you for things that you might know better than they do. And we can't take that in a frivolous manner. We need to be very, very careful and aware, and most importantly, prepared to be a coach before we can call ourselves as one.
Very well said. Yukti, thank you so much. I mean, I really loved your comments, particularly your last one about all the scattered dots in one life ultimately converge into something which is really meaningful. And I also loved your comments about etiquette. I think, you know, in my book, the Brand Called You, I have a full chapter on etiquette and how important it is to have the right kind of etiquette, not just within our own communities and country, but outside the country as well. Thank you again very much. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for the Brand Called You.